This is Conor Lennon from UN News. Clean air is key to everyone achieving their potential, not just athletes, reigning marathon world record holder Paula Radcliffe said on Wednesday. In an interview with UN News, the track and field legend spoke about how air pollution made her ill while training for major races and what she's doing as a UN Environment Programme, or UNEP, clean air advocate and ambassador for the International Association of Athletics Federation, the IAAF. An estimated 500 million people around the globe are runners, and Daniel Johnson began by asking Ms. Radcliffe if she felt daunted by the sheer scale of air pollution, which kills 7 million people every year.
I think I see my responsibility as having a role in raising awareness about the dangers that those 500 million people who are going out running, a figure that's growing daily, and we're all pushing for the health benefits of taking up running, of taking up sport, of being physically active, particularly in children. We're trying to get our kids to be more and more active, but we need to ensure that they're doing so in a clean air environment, that they have clean air to breathe. It's their right. So on behalf of those 500 million people who want to get out and run daily, I want to raise awareness and get them to demand that right to do so in clean air.
Of course, it's not just outside, is it? A huge number, 4.5 million, die every year from indoor pollution. Do you get a sense that the international community is actually taking this issue seriously? I mean, you're here in Geneva, so obviously you do because you're taking part in the World Health Organization's first global conference on air pollution.
But I think that's the issue, that the fact that it's the first global conference, and this is an issue that's been silently growing for a long time. So we need to act now. We need to act quickly. We could have done with acting earlier. We can't do anything about that now. What we can do is make sure that the way we act now moves forward very quickly and gains a lot of support, a lot of momentum, because as you say, those 7 million deaths worldwide from air pollution globally, and 4.5 million of those are from indoor air pollution. We can do something about that. That's preventable, so we have to do something.
Let's talk about projects that are doing something. And for the IAAF, the International Association of Athletics Federations, you're also taking part in a move to implement air pollution filters and monitors in stadiums around the world. Can you tell me a bit more about this initiative? Sounds good.
So with the IAAF, we've decided to do something quickly to understand more and to act better to protect the health of the athletes. So we're going to start small. We recognise it's a huge problem, but you have to start somewhere. So we're committed to installing 1,000 of these devices in stadiums around the world.
What are they exactly, these devices? What do they do?
The devices will measure air quality, levels of pollution in those stadiums at the times when athletes are using them either to compete or to train, and will help us to understand more about the damages and the risks that athletes undertake when they take part in sport in a polluted environment, and also the damage that it can have on athletes' brains.
Right, yes. Mental development is a major issue from air pollution, particularly in children. Their heart's beating faster, they're lower to the ground, they are more exposed to these toxins, which is just awful, but preventable, as you say. Going back to that initiative about the IAAF's air pollution monitors in the stadium, so when is a dangerous time for an athlete like yourself to be training? When do you least want to be running, you know, endless laps that we're used to seeing you doing on the TV?
I think that's what we're trying to achieve with these monitors and with these devices. So we already have one installed in Monaco. There'll be one installed in Addis Ababa on Friday, so November the 2nd. And then we're going to also install in Buenos Aires in Mexico City, one in Japan, and one in Sydney in Australia by the end of the year. And then that will continue to grow. And what we want to do is get the data that shows which cities are the worst, where we need to act the most, and which are the safest times of day for athletes to exercise. And if you consider that, for example, somebody who's exercising, who's running a marathon, who's running at 70% of their maximum oxygen uptake for around about 3 hours, they are inhaling the same amount of air as a sedentary person would do over 2 days. So we really have to do something to protect the people exercising in these environments, because they are taking in the most amount of the polluted air.
And talking of marathons, you are the world record holder still since 2003. When you have been running these marathons, and you train obviously incredibly hard, have you felt running through toxic smog that it actually is hampering your performance?
You can feel it. You can feel really clearly the effect of the air pollution. Probably, to be honest, we notice it more when we arrive in a city and we go training there, because on the day of an actual marathon, the roads and streets are closed, which shows that something can be done. For example, the London Marathon, in the year that that takes place, is probably the cleanest day of the year in terms of air quality in the city of London, because there are no cars on the streets, there's only the runners. So we know we can do something about it, but you do notice as soon as you go for a run in a polluted environment. For example, I was in Beijing in 2015 for the IAAF Athletics Championships there a week before, and I noticed that after my run, I had severe headaches, nausea, felt really lethargic through the whole of the day. The minute that the measures came into place to protect the athletes when the championships started, in terms of cutting the traffic on the roads, closing factories, basically reducing air pollution, those symptoms disappeared.
And talking of the marathons again, let's just see, can you remember what your record time was back in 2003 for running the London Marathon, which is still a record today?
2 hours, 15 and 25 seconds.
Spot on. Very good. Is that a figure that comes into your head every morning when you wake up? You think, yeah, I've still got that. I've still got that record.
I don't know if it comes into my head every morning, but it's certainly something that I know I worked very hard for. My whole team worked very hard for it at the time. And it's nice to achieve a goal that you've worked hard towards. And the longer that I hold it, I think the more proud I am for how things were able to come together on that day. So fingers crossed it lasts a little bit longer.
Okay, so we were just talking about measures that cities and authorities can take, which included shutting down roads. But beyond that, beyond those kind of extreme measures, which may not seem extreme in, say, 10, 15 years' time, perhaps, what can any ordinary runner do? Maybe put pressure on their friends, their local politicians. What can they do?
I think basically every person can do something by shouting about it, by demanding that we all get the clean air that we have the right to believe in, that we all start to do something about trying to halt the growing figures for pollution. So simple things like walking to work, biking to work, using a push scooter to work rather than getting in the car, using public transport, using cleaner fuels, better cooking conditions and facilities. All of these things can make a difference.
I mean, are there any particular solutions or alternatives to current practices that you might want to talk about?
I think we can definitely find alternatives to the problem that we have at the moment and to the contributions to that air pollution. So, for example, in cities like New Delhi, making sure that we have cleaner fuel, that we have better removal of dust particles from the air, from the streets, and that we do something about the agricultural burning and the methods of cooking that are really contributing to the smog problems.
And final question, we are in the SDG studio in Geneva in the UN Palais. What does the Sustainable Development Goals agenda do for cleaner air? Does it give you hope?
So basically the goal that we're looking to work on is Sustainable Development Goal number 3, which is to reduce the number of deaths and illnesses from hazardous chemicals and from air, water and soil pollution and contamination by 2030. So we're committed to trying to make a big difference by 2030.
And one very last question. You're at the UN, but there are a huge amount of international organisations and UN organisations here. What do you want from the UN? You're a big name in sport. This is a big organisation. How can it achieve this pressing need? What can it do and what should it be doing now?
I think the UN can really bring people together. It represents all of the nations united, and what we need to do now is stop all the infighting, stop all the bickering, and concentrate on finding solutions to the problem, on raising that awareness and proactively moving forward. It might only be a little step at a time, but every little step that we all take together makes a big difference globally.